Good evening, and thank you for your presence here this evening. Let us pray. Holy Spirit of God, we thank you for drawing each of us here this evening to receive the grace of your influences through Scripture, sacrament, and silence. Feed us deeply, touch us with the word of strength, and send us home changed, transformed, never the same. We ask this in your most holy threefold name, our family name, transcendent Father, omnipresent Son, immanent indwelling Holy Spirit. Amen.
Staying in that place of quiet, let us listen with the ear of the heart to God's word. The first reading is taken from the book of James, chapter 4. Beloved, come now, you who say, tomorrow or today we shall go into such and such a town, spend a year there doing business, and make a profit. You have no idea what your life will be like tomorrow. You are a puff of smoke that appears briefly and then disappears. Instead, you should say, if the Lord wills it, we shall live to do this or that. But now you are boasting in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So for one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, it is a sin. The word of the Lord. The second reading is taken from Psalm 49, and the response is, blessed are the poor in spirit, the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Blessed are the poor in spirit, the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Hear this, all you peoples. Hearken, all who dwell in the world. Of lowly birth or high degree, rich and poor alike. Blessed are the poor in spirit, the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Why should I fear in evil days when my wicked ensnarers ring me round? They trust in their wealth, the abundance of their riches is their boast. Blessed are the poor in spirit, the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Yet in no way can a man redeem himself or pay his own ransom to God. Too high is the price to redeem one's life. He would never have enough to remain alive, always and not see destruction. Blessed are the poor in spirit. The kingdom of heaven is theirs. For he can see that wise men die, and likewise the senseless and the stupid pass away, leaving to others their wealth. Blessed are the poor in spirit, the kingdom of heaven is theirs. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The gospel reading is taken from Mark chapter 9. John said to Jesus, Teacher, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he does not follow us. Jesus replied, Do not prevent him. There is no one who performs a mighty deed in my name who can at the same time speak ill of me. For whoever is not against us is for us. The Gospel of our Lord and Savior. Lord Jesus Christ.
The book of James is a brief little book, and it's a very practical book. It has a lot of practical wisdom in it, and it's famous for its pithy statements, like the one we heard tonight, as well as others, such as, faith without works is dead. And tonight, you probably can remember this very simply, you have no idea what your life will be like tomorrow. You have no idea what your life, what our life will be like tomorrow. Kind of courageous thing to say, to just put out there, but it's true. We have no idea what our life will be like in the next second. We just assume that there'll be a sense of continuity, but we really have no idea what our life will be like tomorrow. And then it's this humbling statement. You are a puff of smoke that appears briefly and then disappears. You are a puff of smoke. Just like that. You can imagine a candle being blown out. So what is the wisdom in this? There is a remedy that is given here. We'll come to that in just a moment. But I would like to dedicate this sharing in tonight's Eucharist to the memory and life of Mitzi Best, who 2 years ago tonight was in the room about where Todd is sitting. And during communion, she came forward about halfway. And she stopped. And I was sitting right about here and I observed this. And she just looked at Tim, who was holding the center for communion. She must have stayed there for 30 seconds looking. And then she turned around and went out the door. Now Mitzi was a friend, a friend to me and perhaps a friend to many of you. That was a Wednesday evening. It was an unusual experience, so I texted her that evening and asked her, are you okay? And she said, no, she was not okay, and that there was a lot going on in her life and a lot of emotions coming up and a lot was being triggered by some events that occurred, both in her past and in recent. Mitzi, unknown to me, had a drug problem. I knew her for 5 years at least, if not more. And she kept that to herself. She didn't tell me anything about her personal story. I guess she told some people here, some people knew. But she had a significant issue with certain drugs and pairing certain drugs. And that weekend, which was Memorial Day weekend, she went out and apparently took one drug and then took another drug and apparently wasn't the best drugs. And sitting in her car in the parking lot of her apartment complex, she passed out and never woke up. It was a big shock to a lot of us. It was a big shock to me. And I spent a long time pondering this experience of seeing Mitzi stop and turn around from the Eucharist. In my texting with her, she shared with me a little bit why that happened and her sense of despair with God. And it reminded me of what Jesus said tonight to his disciples, whoever is not against me is for me. Now, for a lot of us, we can't be for Jesus. I've talked to a lot of people in this community who can't be for Jesus. They're not Jesus people. They don't connect with Jesus. Where is Jesus? And a lot of people struggle with being for Jesus. But there's a difference between struggling with being for Jesus and being against Jesus. And that's a very subtle distinction, but it's a very, very important distinction. And from day to day in our lives, we can shift our energy, our attention, our disposition, our emotional state, our will, in its attention, its affection, its interest, its orientation to Jesus or away from Jesus, to God or away from God, to Spirit or away from Spirit. And it doesn't seem to have much impact in our life. In other words, we fall asleep to Spirit. We go blind to God. We take the wheel instead of going on autopilot and trusting God. Those moments in our lives where it's easy to not be for God because we're so for ourselves. It's easy to not be for the Spirit because we're so for our own strength and capacity and gifts and all the other resources that we might have. Our personality, our talents, our wealth, our family, our heritage, our network, our social network, our degrees, our pedigree, etc. We don't have to be for God because we have so much going for us, so it seems. Now, Mitzi is a good example of someone who lived in two worlds at least. And she's a good example because for many of us, I know firsthand that we live in two worlds at least. Some of us probably live in 12 dimensions of worlds. In other words, there's the church self, and then there's the work self, and then there's the family self, and then there's the partier self, and then there's the brother self, or the sister self, or the mother or father self, and then there's the vacation self, and on and on and on. All these different dimensions of ourselves that we sometimes don't reveal to other people, or we curate and manicure what we reveal to other people. We're this way with these people, and we're not this way with other people. We're for God with these people, and not so good for God over here. It's very normal. Well, Mitzi revealed to me the tension that can occur and build up in a life where this friction line comes between not being for but not being against, where we're in limbo. And I took her turning around from the Eucharist not as being against Christ's presence or against the Eucharist, but as a place of deep pain, that she wasn't feeling safe amidst all this God stuff, because the God stuff had let her down. In fact, some of it had hurt her. I think this is a pretty normal and common experience for many, many people in the Christian church and in other religions and other experiences of spiritual communities. People let you down. People let us down. So let me bring all this back to how we began. That you have no idea what your life will be like tomorrow. You are a puff of smoke. Whew. That appears briefly and then disappears. The trouble is that we think that we will endure. We think that we can do whatever we want. We think that we're in charge. These are normal things to expect, but we forget that the brevity of life is being given moment by moment by moment. And we don't live as if there's anything more than ourselves. It's so easy to forget this truth. It's so easy to simply live for the moment, whatever that moment might be arising. Negative emotions, negative thoughts, seeking pleasure, seeking happiness, seeking goodness, whatever it might be, it is so easy to forget that the moment is being given in the very first place. The remedy is that instead you should say, if the Lord wills it, we shall live to do this or that. This is this radical place of surrender to a purpose of each of our lives that is beyond our capacity to see, beyond the horizon, that each of us is playing a part in the destiny of this world, in the destiny of our lives, and in the destiny of what God wants for you and your soul and your life to become. The mystery is that sometimes we can forget that vertical dimension of God, of Spirit, of Jesus, so quickly that we lose sight of what our destiny might be. And we choose to give in to despair or to behavior that will disconnect us completely. In Mitzi's case, she thought she was off the hook by taking these substances. It turned out that those substances were not her comforters, were not her friends at all, were not her gentle disappearance into sleep to avoid the pain of life. They were her exit out of this life. And she didn't know it beforehand. She thought she was in control. And this is the dimension where all of us can learn something. None of us are in charge of our life. Now, certainly taking our life in our own hands, like skydiving or taking drugs, increases the risk of losing our life. But this is not just about the physical dimension. This is about what happens when we turn around from the presence of Christ at the spiritual dimension. Because on the one hand, losing Mitzi brought me to tears, brought me to my knees and weeping. But there's something even more sad about people who remain physically alive but spiritually dead. And this is the dimension that I think all of us can begin to stay alert toward more in our life, to discover, where do I think that I'm in charge of my life so much so that I am blocking out the presence and action of the Spirit of God? Where am I denying the power of God to guide, lead, and direct my life? Where am I tuning out the will of God and simply tuning in my own will, preferences, and dispositions? And we can get away with it for a very, very long time, apparently. And in fact, we might even live our whole lives, perhaps never really asking, show me your will, Lord. I want to be so for you that it's evident and clear in my life. I don't want to just live my life in spiritual neutral. I want to be for you. I want to be listening for your will in my life. I want to fulfill your will for me. And then sit back in that confidence and trust. In our culture, we could learn a bit from the great traditions of Islam and Judaism, which emphasize so heavily, if Allah wills it, if God wills it. Such a confidence. The work puts it this way: life's happening in the only way it can. But it misses that vertical dimension of God. It's just simply this: life is happening in the only way it can. It's true. Asleep to the vertical, life is happening in the only way it can. But coming into awakeness in that vertical depth, then life begins to be carried along by a different spirit, so to speak, a tuned-in factor that can guide and direct our lives in ways that we couldn't even begin to imagine. So listen. Take time to listen in the morning, the noon, and the night. Stop the business throughout the day and listen. Ask the Spirit for guidance, direction, and insight, that you might be in alignment with the will and not just not be against God, but give yourself more and more to be for God and to go with that flow, and who knows where it might go. In the years that have passed since Mitzi's death, I have made it my personal aim to remember Mitzi in this room and to hold her in my heart and her journey deeper into God's love. and all those that we have lost in this community to death or unexpected deaths, that we would in some way learn from their lesson to remember our death and not to live so in charge as if we know when we will die. Let us pray. We pray for the soul of Mitzi Bess that she would rest in your peace. And we pray for our own journeys that they would come to the fullness of your destiny and that you will guard us and protect us from our own despair and behaviors that would limit our flourishing. We ask this in Christ. Amen. May the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, the peace of the Holy Spirit help us each become more and more and more for God and God's work in our lives and in our world. Amen.